A Woodville family has spoken about their nightmare ordeal trying to get funding and support to look after their severely disabled foster child. Dairy farmers Pip and Jules Cook care for 15-year-old Ryan with the promised help of social services. But they say the provider, Turuki Healthcare, has refused to pay them, stopped and started their payments and won't respond to emails. Turuki Healthcare, which took over the contract a year ago, puts the Cook's complaints down to teething problems. Catherine Hutton reports.
Ryan Cook shuffles around the living room on his knees, a tablet computer with reinforced cover hanging from his mouth. He doesn't sit still. Pictures on the wall have to be hung high to stop Ryan knocking them off the walls. In a corner, a TV is playing his favourite cartoon, Barney. He also loves Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. Ryan suffers from Kredischer syndrome, or Chat syndrome, a chromosome disorder which causes intellectual disability and delayed development.
He also has fetal alcohol syndrome, so they're unsure. It's really difficult to know how much is fetal alcohol, how much is Chat syndrome, and they all kind of cross over. He is a little bit autistic. He also was born 8 weeks premature, so he has a whole raft of issues going on.
That's foster mum Pip Cook. She says Ryan's brain is a bit haywire. He can't speak and has the mental age of a one-year-old.
He doesn't have any idea of safety or heat or falling off something, you know, those kind of things. And then probably the worst thing he has is he has a condition called pecker, which means he puts everything in his mouth. So it's a sensory thing and everything goes in here, so it becomes a huge safety issue with Ryan's.
That means Ryan has to be watched 24/7. It's a routine the Cooks are used to, having had him since he was 5 months old. Uplifted one morning after his mother threatened to kill him, he was dropped at the Cooks that afternoon. In emergency placement, he was only supposed to stay 6 weeks. But they quickly grew attached to him, and fearing what would happen if they didn't take him, he stayed. With 4 kids of their own, the youngest of whom was 9, there was always someone to look after him. The Cooks say they've asked for very little in the way of financial support. A buggy to take him out on the farm and riding for the disabled lessons, which the primary school couldn't provide. Then, at the end of 2018, out of the blue, they received a call from Keystone Business Infrastructure, the organisation responsible for paying foster carers, which offered to pay them $1,200 a month for respite care, clothing and equipment, things like toys, which Ryan goes through a lot of.
We were so internally grateful because it doesn't cover anywhere near what we spend on respite carers, but it was a help that we hadn't had before, so we were pretty grateful.
The next time they heard from Keystone, it was to tell them Turuki Healthcare was taking over in July last year, but they didn't have to do anything. Then, in November, the payments suddenly stopped. Panicking and desperate to try and sort it out before Christmas, they frantically tried to reach someone at Turuki. After hours and hours of emails, phone calls, they still couldn't get a clear answer on what was needed to reinstate the funding.
At one point they wanted me to go and quote, go to farmers or quote every toy, bib, pair of pants, everything. And I obviously, to that, my approach was that it's just so unrealistic. A, I don't have the caregiving money to have a caregiver so I can go and do that. And B, that is just crazy. It's time and energy that didn't need to happen, you know. So.
Pip finally got an answer out of a manager.
They said, OK, we'll pay that, but only because we've decided. Actually, she said to me, I'm a mother, so I can understand that. Probably, yeah, so I've decided, which really frustrated me because it's not should never be about a personal choice. Either we're entitled to that or we're not. So how can it be at the discretion of when you're getting a phone call from somebody else to say, hey, you shouldn't be doing that, you know? And that seems to be a pattern with them.
The care plan says their funding should be paid directly to the Cooks, but Turuki refused to pay the money into Pip's account, insisting she couldn't be trusted.
And I felt that was just an incredible distrust. You know, I'm trusted to look after a child that's 24-hour care that literally we keep alive and relies on us totally, but I can't be trusted to manage any funds. So that actually was incredibly frustrating.
Jules Cook admits his wife, Pip, deals with the bulk of issues around Ryan. He says he was gobsmacked by Turuki's response, which clearly placed a great deal of stress on his wife.
Just having to try and find that money and just the lack of understanding that she was met with, it was unbelievable. We've dealt with a lot of organisations and hands down they have been by far the worst.
Jules says it's not so much the money, but the attitude they were confronted with.
There's only so much money to go around and we understand that. But it was just the way that we were talked to, or Pitt was talked to. It was just, well, we've never struck that sort of rudeness before. And I suppose, yeah, it's... And then just you would try and find out what they needed. You'd send emails and they'd answer questions they wanted to, and they would ignore other ones. So it was just a massive, frustrating experience, really.
Asked to explain the cook's treatment, Turuki's manager of permanent caregiver support services, Vonya Douglas, blames confusion over the transition from Keystone.
When the service transitioned, there was a teething issue, which is regrettable. There was some miscommunication as a result of this.
Since Turuki took the contract from Keystone, the number of foster families actively accessing the provider's help has more than doubled, while the overall budget has stayed static at $4.7 million a year, an average of $3,600 for each family annually. Even still, Turuki says it has enough money to meet the needs of its foster families. That confidence has long been lost by the cooks. They say in the first phone call, Turuki didn't know where Woodville was, and at one point they claimed to have no record of Ryan and his needs. In February, they were emailed to say their funding had stopped, only to receive another one 20 minutes later, saying they would be paid for respite care.
My manager has decided, it was the wording, that you can have the respite care, but you're not having anything else until a NAS assessment is completed.
That assessment was to be done by an organisation based in Palmerston North called Mana Whaikaha, but even that was fraught.
Mana Whaikaha didn't know who they were, why they needed it. They never actually even filled out a proper application for an assessment. They just sent an email, and then that sat there for about 3 months, and they kept saying, we're not doing anything until we get this assessment.
But when the payments didn't arrive, the cooks rang them, only for Jules to get a text message to say they weren't being paid for the month because Turuki had forgotten to pay them. Pip says she'd like to see Turuki be a little more appreciative.
I'd like to be treated with respect. It's a really, really hard job that we do, and to be treated with distrust and, no respect or... treated like we're trying to get something out of the system or whatever it is just horrible. And it's a fight that we shouldn't have to be doing because all foster parents who do that, 99% of us do it because we genuinely care about these kids and we need support and not treated the opposite way.
Turuki's Vonya Douglas expressed disappointment at the cook's complaints.
I am very sorry to hear that the cooks felt this way, and it is not the level of service we aspire to. While we can't verify these allegations, PCSS would never want any caregiver or child or young person to feel unappreciated.
Oranga Tamariki says it meets with Turuki quarterly to discuss issues that arise with the service and conducts an annual monitoring review, although this has been delayed because of COVID. It says Turuki was one of seven organisations that tendered for the contract and has delivered health, wellbeing and social services for 20 years, but not in foster caring. But it expressed surprise when told of the cook's experience.
Since the permanent caregiver support service was contracted to Turuki Healthcare, we've been pleased with the changes that have been made and we believe it has benefited caregivers and the young people they care for. We meet regularly with Turuki Healthcare to discuss progress, and no issues have been uncovered that give cause for concern.
Meanwhile, the cooks are baffled by claims of teething problems, saying their payments were already set up. They want to know how Turuki has addressed these problems, but they're still waiting for a response from Ms. Douglas to their email in February. The assessment has been done, and they're on to their third social worker in 9 months. Whatever happens, they say they will look after Ryan, regardless of the money, but they don't want others to have to battle the way they have. For Checkpoint, call Catherine Hutton, 10A.